be in 2 Samuel today, chapter 3. If you guys got your Bibles, let's jam on over to 2 Samuel chapter 3 as we're going through the book of Samuel. And I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into it. We've got a lot of ground to cover, so pray for me that I get you guys out of here on time, because then you get nasty and mean and if I get you here too long. So Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word today. Open up our eyes, our hearts, and our ears. Lord, just get rid of all the stuff that's going around right now in our heart, in our mind, what we're burdened with, what we're going through, all of these things, Lord, that would get in the way of listening to what you'd want to say to us today. Lord, just cleanse our minds and our hearts so we can hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 2 Samuel chapter 3 is where we're going to be at today. And one of the things about 2 Samuel, now that we're seeing the life of David, and I'm going to catch you guys up on 1 Samuel, just so you know where we've been. I'm going to make you guys like theologians in under a minute. 1 Samuel is about three people. Samuel, who was a prophet, priest, and judge of Israel, which was a unique position because there was nobody in Israel that was ever a prophet, priest, and judge all at the same time, except for Jesus. And then there was, after Samuel, the first third of the book, it goes into Saul. And Saul is off the rails, crazy, going in another direction of the Lord. And he ends up dying. And David comes up into the scene. And now in chapter 3 of 2 Samuel, because they're all one book, 1 and 2 Samuel, all the same book in the original writing. And for fun, like if you guys wanted to do this when you get home, just read the last paragraph of 1 Samuel, just the last paragraph in the last chapter, and then read the first paragraph in the first chapter of 2 Samuel. All these numbers are just crazy. But you'll see they just kind of go right together. They totally blend together. And what's been going on in this point, you guys, and this is where we really need to listen up. David has been anointed king over all of Israel about 10 or 15 years prior to this, in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And God had a plan, he had a vision, he had a destiny for David, and it was to be king over all of Israel. But as you guys noticed, his life has been up and down, hasn't it? He's been anything but a king. He's backslidden. He went into the land of the Philistines, and there's just been this up and down long road of hurry up and wait. And, you know, David, he's in that season that we get in. And I think for us, we got to remember too that life is up and down and it is hurry up and wait with God. Has he ever answered your schedule? Lord, I want this to happen right now. And then it's like, oh, in 2 minutes. Thank you, Lord. I was wondering what was taking you so long. God, you know, he may not show up on our schedule and our time. In fact, I wish he would do it, but you guys, I find myself often looking back and saying, Lord, what's going on? How much more up and down? How much more things are going to be like this? But then I look and I see that God has been doing something just like he was doing in David. And this is what was going on in David's life. Whenever you get to that place and you're like, what's going on? Why is it up? Why is it down? Why is this road long? God wasn't just making a king, he was making a man. He was making a man whose heart, after everything he went through, would be totally devoted to God, would his mind and his life would be set on God after everything he went through. Because it's through those ups and downs, it's through those long roads, and sometimes you guys, we just feel like, man, we're never gonna get it right, we're never gonna figure it out, but God is doing something in the mess. And when we get in chapter 3, I want to encourage you guys this morning. That's what we see, is God is working in the mess of life, of these ups and downs. And I'm so thankful for what we see in this chapter because it encouraged me when I was studying it this week. I was praising the Lord because of all the things that I know you guys are going through, that I deal with. And we're asking that question, what are you doing in all of this? God's doing something. He's going to show us in chapter 3. So David, now, he's going to take his rightful place of king over all of Israel. You guys remember last week, only Judah made David king. Out of 12 tribes, only Judah got on board with David. And the reason why is because David was their hometown boy. He's from the tribe of Judah. So it makes sense that Judah would be like, okay, we'll make you king because that's their hometown boy. So like some of us are all about the Beavers. I don't know about the Ducks. You got any Duck fans in here? You guys aren't from around here anyway then, right? But like we're all about Corvallis. That's our hometown team. And so the same thing with David is he's Judah's hometown team. So they anoint David as king in Judah. But now we're going to see in chapter 3 where David, if you're ever like, Jason, when does David take all of the kingdom, control of all the kingdoms? Right here in chapter 3. This is where it all happens. This is where God's plan starts unfolding for David's life. And so in chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 1. And there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, and David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. And the sons of David, sons were born to David at Hebron. And I'm totally going to thrash these names, so teacher Eileen, give me grace and mercy. His firstborn was Ammon of Ahinoam of Jezreel. His second, Chileab, because the guy was chill, of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And the third was Absalom of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And the fourth was Adonijah, the son of Haggith. How would you like to have that your mom name you Haggith? Everybody called you Hag. What's up, Hag? So Haggith, and the fifth was Shephatah, and the son of Abital, and the sixth was Ithream of Eglah, David's wife, and these were born in David in Hebron. Now, check this out, you guys. Something really cool is being shown here. We look at David, and it says he's got six sons. And we're like, that's like a good-sized Catholic family, nothing crazy. You know, it's definitely not Mormon status, but, you know, six kids is good. That's a good-sized family. But did you guys notice what it said? It said six sons by six different women. And here's the problem. David's got troubles with the ladies. He's just got his eyes on all these women. And if you guys notice that when we're looking through scripture, this never goes good. Never goes good. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 17, God had commanded the future kings of Israel because he knew what they were going to be getting into when they got before they got into it, because God knows us like that. He said, don't acquire cattle, horse, much horses, gold, silver, and ladies. And the reason why was because their hearts would become proud and they would be led astray from God because they had all these women from different pagan backgrounds. And you know what? He's going to add another wife before we're even done with this chapter. So David's like on this crazy going after all of these ladies. And you know what? His son picked up a lot of that too. Solomon had over 700 wives and 300 concubines. Do you know how many mother-in-laws that is? That's crazy. Could you imagine how many in-laws Solomon must have had? That would have been crazy. And Solomon picked up on that. And when we look at this and we're like, well, what's the big point of this? What's the Bible doing? What's it show us? That David's flawed, but God's still going to use him in a miraculous way. See, and that was important to me. Because there's a lot of time in my life, you guys, when I look at scripture, I measure my weakness according to everybody else's success. And I look at others in the scriptures and in wherever, and I just compare my weakness to their goodness. And I think, man, God, you just, my life's a wreck. I get like that too. How are you going to use me? And I look at David's life and I remember that God's not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for someone who's available. And he changed the world with them. Don't you guys remember the disciples? They were crazy, these guys. Loggers, fishermen. One was a murderer, a zealot. And what Jesus did is he took these people that were so thrashed, and you would say, there's no way God's going to use them. And he changed, not only did he use them, he changed the world with them, with flawed people. When we look at David in his life and we say, hey, what's going on here, David? Well, David's walking outside the will of God. And he's going against God, even now again. But you know what? God still used him and had mercy and love on him and still gave that plan, and it brought it to about from God's hand. Not because David was good, because God is good. And if you're here and you're just like, Jason, I'm so flawed. I got so many issues. If I was to write them down, I'd have to just, I mean, I can't, there's no like iCloud that could hold my garbage. I want to encourage you. David was the same way. And you know what? There came a day where God got involved in this man's life, and we're reading about him 4,000 years later, and he was the greatest king that Israel ever saw. Not only that, David is compared to Jesus in a lot of ways. And so David, what we see is that we got this very picture of David and his life and his family, and it's a mess. Now in verse 6, you would think that the Bible would say, because David was walking in the opposite direction, because David wasn't following God, because he didn't keep his commandments perfectly, God was so stinking mad at David, he killed him. And you know how when we get serious, we start talking in King James, like, God was sorely displeaseth and David was deadeth. But you know what? In verse 6, it doesn't even mention God's displeasure. We know God wasn't cool with David having six wives. He's about ready to add another one. Why didn't God say something about it? And here's why. Because a lot of the times I think we believe that the scriptures should be more preachier than they are. Don't do this. Make sure you do that, because that's where life is. Make sure you get it right. But a lot of the times, you guys, what the Bible does is it holds up God's will for your life, a picture, and says, check this out. This is God's plan. This is God's will. Perfect. Go for it and see what happens. See what happens when you surrender. This is it. Check this out. And then it shows our plan next to that one that's like, hey, check this out. Go for it. And it says, here's your plan. Here's God's plan. And let's see how this ends up. And when we look at scripture, we can see how it ends up going in a different direction. Because when we talk about David, and again, the Bible's showing us what happened to David because he didn't go God's way. Well, the first boy, Ammon, that you guys saw there, he ends up raping his sister. That's not good. And then Absalom kills Ammon. And then Adonijah, he ends up sleeping with David's concubines, tries to take power, and over again, what we see is the picture doesn't work unless we're part of God's plan. And we got to remember that God's way works, you guys. It just does. And I know that sometimes we get off on that and we go in our other direction, but here's the deal. The Lord's good. And just like with David, he's just like with us. He's going to use us anyway. He's going to fulfill his purpose in us anyway. And that gives me a lot of hope, because I'm like, it's not dependent upon me. Thank God it's not dependent upon me. Thank God it's not dependent on you. And so David, check out verse 6. It says now that while there was a war between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. So Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizvah, the daughter of Ai. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, why have you gone into my father's concubine? And so Abner was very angry over the words of Ishbosheth, and he said, am I a dog's head of Judah? I don't know. I guess that's like something bad. Like, am I a dog's head of Judah? To this day, I keep showing steadfast love to the house of your father Saul, to his brothers, to his friends, and I have not given you into the hand of David, and yet you charge me today with the fault concerning a woman? God so do to me, and more also, if I do not accomplish for David what the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel, over Judah, from Dan to Beersheba." And it says in verse 11, "And Ishbosheth could not answer Abner a word because he feared Abner." So Ishbosheth is gotten power from Abner. So who do we got? We got David, the rightful king of Israel. We've got Ishbosheth, who is Saul's son, who's reigning all these 11 tribes. And then we've got this guy Abner, who gave power to Ishbosheth. And this guy is tough. Like, he smokes cigars and then just chews them up and swallows them when he's done. This guy is for real. And he has been having the one with power. And Ishbosheth goes up to him. He goes, "What's up, man? I heard you've been sleeping with my dad's girlfriend." And we look at that and we're like, well, what's the big deal? Saul's dead, so it doesn't really matter. But what's happening is a play for power, because if you're sleeping with the old man's girlfriend and he was the king, then you're gonna, that's your place where you're trying to take over now and gain all this power. And so Ishbosheth is like, what's up with this? And Abner looks at him. I kind of think of Robert De Niro all the time. Abner's like, you talking to me? You talking to me? I don't see nobody else talking to me, punk. Sleeping with your dad's girlfriend? For real? And it was a picture of when a woman was given to a king, she was always to be his. And I start thinking about the church, you guys, and how our groom, Jesus Christ. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says, "I gave you to Jesus as a bride, a virgin, a chaste virgin. But I'm worried that Satan's getting into your mind and he's going to lead you astray just like he led Eve astray." And what it is with Jesus is, like, we're his bride, you guys. We belong to him and none other. And what happens when we start giving ourselves to other things? Man, life's a mess. Abner, there was war in Abner's home, in his people, in his life. There was no peace. And it was a total mess. And you guys remember that saying about Christians when they serve the Lord with half their heart, that they got just enough Jesus to hate the world, but then they got just enough world in them to where they're not happy with Jesus. And then they walk around and they're a miserable mess. And the only other alternative is to go all in for the Lord and say, "Hey, I'm yours. Not just because I'm in a good season or a bad season, any season, I'm yours, Lord." And so Abner takes this other woman, apparently, and he says to Ishbosheth, because Ishbosheth says, "Man, you shouldn't be doing that." And so what does Abner do? When we look at Abner, you guys, what's he do? He goes on Team David. He starts buying the hoodies. It says, "I love David. David's the guy. We're all on his team." He's got the coffee mug that says, "David's my king," right? And it looks good. It looks good. Finally, Abner, you would recognize David is king. And we look at that and we're like, good job, man. I support that. You doing what's right. But what caught my eye is that Abner knew for over 7 to 10 years that it was God's will that David be king over all the tribes of Israel, and yet he's still going against the will of God by putting up Ishbosheth against David. He knows the will of God, and yet he's walking in the opposite direction of it. You know anybody like that? Goes the other opposite direction. And when he comes back, he's going to be coming back for selfish reasons, because Ishbosheth hurt his feelings. "You've been sleeping with my dad's girlfriend. What's up with that?" And he's like, "Oh, man, forget this." And he goes to now keep David to make him king over everybody. And I thought it would be so great, you guys, if we went to Jesus more than just for selfish reasons. You know, and sometimes we do that. We go to the Lord when life's really bad and we need help. You know, we don't see him for years, but then as soon as something happens, it's like, man, I need you, Lord. And guess what God does? He comes through for you. But what would it be like if we started going after the Lord just because we love him? Just because he died for our sins? Just because he's a friend of sinners? Just because he cares? Just because he loves? What if we just went after the Lord for that? So David now is going to end up king, and Abner's on his team going all in. But check out what happens in verse 12. And Abner sent messages to David on his behalf, saying, "To whom does the land belong? Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you and to bring you over to all Israel to you." And he said, "Good, I'll make a covenant with you, but one thing I require is that you shall not see my face until you bring Michal, Saul's daughter, or Michal or Michelle." I don't know how Michal sounds kind of weird, right? We don't want to say that in today's culture. Yeah, David's wife, Michal. It's like, which Michal? Like, what's up with that? It was Saul's daughter. And he says, "Surely you're not going to see my face until you bring Saul's daughter to me, my wife." Verse 14, "Then David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, 'Give me my wife, Michal, for whom I paid the bridal price of 100 foreskins of the Philistines.'" Awkward. Could you imagine that down deposit? Like, that's kind of weird. "Go up to a car lot just for fun. And, you know, you see a rig and it's like $90,000. And they're like, 'Yeah, it's all yours. I just need a down deposit. How much you got?' 'Well, I got like 100 foreskins." It's awkward, right? I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Who wants a deposit of that? But David's down with it. And so, you know, he brings him back on like a little necklace or something and ends up with this girl for a wife. And it says in verse 15, Ishbosheth sent for her. Now she's married. There's so much drama here, you guys. More on Jerry Springer. Check this out. Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, Paltiel, the son of Laish. But her husband went behind her weeping and crying after him all the way to Bahurim. And then Abner said to him, "You need to go and return." And he's like, "Okay." And he goes and he returns. And so in verse 17, Abner conferred with the elders of Israel, saying, "For some time past, you've been seeking David as king over you. And he says, now is the time to bring it about, for the Lord has promised David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people.'" Doesn't that sound like Jesus? "By the hand of my servant, I shall save my people." Over and over again, David is a picture of Jesus. It's the Bible says Jesus is the son of David, not the son of Abraham, not the son of Isaac, not the son of Jacob. Why? Because David, although he was flawed and messed up, you guys, he had a lot of holy and righteous characteristics about him. And you guys got to remember, yes, he was messed up, but he was God's mess. God still used David. God loved David. David wrote the Psalms. He wrote the Psalms, you guys. He fought the Lord's battles. He worshiped the Lord. He ruled with integrity a lot of the times. And yes, he messed up. But you guys got to remember something. He was a mess, but he loved God. Is it possible for you not to be straight and still love God? For you not to be perfect? Yes. And again, what do we see? God working in the mess. And that's hard for some of us. And I'm not saying that we should be flawed people. I'm not saying we should be addicted. I'm not saying that we should be off the rails. I'm saying God loves us. And he gets you. He gets me right where we're at. And so David, it says, "I'll save my people." He'll save his people from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies. So when Abner goes to these 11 tribes, he goes, "I know you've been thinking about making David your king. You've been kicking it around for some time. It's been in your head. It's been on your heart. Every now and again, you get this idea of, man, David would be a good king. Every now and again, you get a thought that maybe if I served him, he'd be good to me. Maybe he'd protect. Maybe he'd watch. Maybe he'd comfort. Maybe he'd strengthen." And Abner says, "Stop thinking about it and make a decision and do it now, because now's the time to do it." Did you see what Abner said? He says, "Now then, bring it about." And that's a word for us, you guys, that if we've been kicking it around and we're like, man, I don't know, I want to go all in for Jesus, but I'm kind of on the fence and I just don't know. What are you waiting for? What are you looking to have happen in your life any more than what's already happened before you go all in and say, I'm done with that. I'm making a move and it's going to happen right now. Now is the time. You've been thinking about it. Now do it. Just do it. Surrender to the Lord. You've been wanting peace? You want joy? You want forgiveness? Then what are you doing? Go for it. It's right there. But, you know, I have a history of starting and stopping. Start. So what? Start again. Now. Like today. Get after it. Here's the thing that we see with David and with Jesus. Did you see David, even though those 11 tribes were definitely within his control and he should have just went and took them, he didn't? What's that tell us about Jesus? There's only volunteers in the Lord's army. He's not coming to get you and make you serve him. In Revelation chapter 3, it says he sits at the door and he knocks. How simple can it be? Jesus knocks, we open. And so Abner's like, man, you guys make it happen. And they're like, you know what? You got it. We're going to do it. And there's never a better choice that you'll ever make in your life when you say, I'm done with my life the way that it's been. And I know I've started and stopped, but today's the day of salvation, and I'm going all in for the Lord. Watch what God will do. Watch how God blesses these people because of this decision of saying, okay, we're going to go for it. Abner says, now then bring it about. In verse 19, Abner also spoke to Benjamin, and Abner went to tell David at Hebron all that Israel and the whole house of Benjamin thought good to do. And when Abner came with 20 men to David at Hebron, David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. Does that not sound like Jesus? Abner has sinned against David. He's risen up 11 tribes against David for 7 to 10 years. He has caused David nothing but hell in his life over and over again, sinned against him. And when he comes to David, David goes, I forgive you, and I'm going to throw a feast for you. Do you remember the prodigal son when Jesus was saying, hey, when that boy was going crazy in the other direction, and what did the father do? When that boy made a turn back, when that boy was in the pig pen, when he was so filthy, he came to his senses. Because sometimes you got to get dirty before you can come into your right mind. And he says, I've got it. I got a father who's good, who's going to take me back, and I'm going back home. And what's the father do? It says he saw him from afar off, said, put a robe on him, get some bling on his fingers, and let's kill that fatted calf because we're going to have a party because my son who was once dead is now alive. He's gone, but now he's home. David throws a feast for Abner. He doesn't say, I'm going to make you pay first. How about a little revenge? Because you're not feeling me yet. None of it. None of it. This is why when the Bible says Jesus is the son of David, these are reasons why. And so Abner, verse 20, when he came with 20 men, David threw him a feast. And Abner said to David, I will arise and I'll go and will gather all Israel, my Lord, to the king. And they made a covenant with you and that you may reign over all that your heart desires. And so David sent Abner away and he went in peace. Check out verse 22. Everything seems cool. Abner's forgiven. He's aligned with David. All's going well. David's in full control of all 12 tribes. Hang with me, you guys. Are you guys hanging with me? I got to show you something and you got to pay attention. David has now just gained everything he wanted. Everything God promised in that one verse. You missed it. He's got all 12 now. Life is going so good. But it has a way of blowing up right when that happens, doesn't it? And what happens? Abner comes. And remember, those 11 tribes trusted Abner, not David. They trusted Abner. And they're like, okay, Abner, you giving him a good word? We're on. We're on your team. We'll go for it. So look what happens now. David's right-hand man, nephew, Joab. Okay, family drama again. David's got a nephew that's crazy. strong, tough. Kind of reminds me of Conor McGregor, right? I mean, he's just going to take you to the mat and ground and pound you. And he's David's right-hand man. And do you remember who killed Joab's brother last week? Abner. Joab finds out that Abner has just come to David and made peace. And how do you think he's going to roll with it? You kill my brother, right? This is what happens in verse 22. Just then, the servant of David arrived with Joab from a raid, bringing much spoil with him. But Abner was not with David at Hebron, for he sent him away, and he had gone in peace. And when Joab and all the army that was with him came, it was told to Joab, Abner the son of Ner came to the king. He was here. And David let him go, and he's gone in peace. And in verse 24, David says, are you smoking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? What's up? You had him and let him go. He was right here. Joab's tough. You know David's tough. Any man that gets in David's face like this is crazy tough. And he's like, you had him right there. What have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why is it that you sent him away and that he's gone in peace? You know that Abner the son came to deceive you and to know your goings in and your goings out and to know all that you're doing. And when Joab came out from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner because he's like, oh, no, you did not. I'm going to take care of this Joab's way. Have you ever done that? You had somebody's name that you just couldn't stand hearing. And anytime that name comes up, you're like, oof. Like you get all mad and heart starts beating. Hands get sweaty and you start twitching. Joab is like, Abner? Right, he starts twitching and freaking out like he's got Tourette's. Oh, I'm going to take care of this my own self. And so Joab goes after him in verse 27. When Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the midst of the gate. That's important with him privately. And there he struck him in the stomach so that he died. And the blood of Asiel... For the blood of Asiel, his brother. We're going to close, you guys, but check this out. Joab is like, forget this. I'm going after Abner. How dare he do this to me? You don't disrespect me, because if you disrespect me, then it's going to be like, I'm not just going to pay you back. Like, I'm going to go like pay you back and then like double that. And then we'll be square. So Joab calls, he gives Abner a text and he's like, let's meet over in Hebron. I just want to grab an Americano and let's talk. Here's the interesting thing about Hebron, you guys. Do you remember the safe city that was designated by God that people could run to and not be murdered or tried? It was Hebron. So Abner is like, oh, you want to go to that place of peace? It's like the library. Like, it's great. Nothing bad happens at the library. And Joab's like, yeah, let's hook up. Let's meet right there. Let's just bury the hatchet in your stomach. And I could just picture Joab going in for a bro hug. What's up, Abner? Boom. And then whispering in his ear, that's for my brother. And then Abner falls down dead. And this whole thing is going to blow up like crazy. What do you think is going to happen with those 11 tribes? You think this is going to go good? Everything is blowing up with them. And we got to remember, you guys, we may not be going around killing people. At least I hope you ain't. But we do stab people with our mouth. We do stab people with our thoughts. We do look for revenge. And let me tell you, it's never going to make us any better. But it will keep you bitter. And it does keep me bitter. And at some point, we've got to realize that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And it's not an easy road to forgive people that have hurt you. But it's one of those things in your life that I need to get through. It's like I call them pivotal moments in your life, where when you get through that moment of getting through those people that have hurt you, and you can pray for them and forgive them, that is the moment that everything starts changing for us. There's no hold on you by these people anymore. There's none of that. And that's why Jesus was saying, blessed are the merciful, they shall be shown mercy, and to pray for your enemies. And so Joab's like, forget all of that. I know what you're saying, but I'm going to go this way. And then it blows up in his face. It's going to blow up in his face, and this is where we're going to close out. Guy, you guys come on up. So David said to Joab and all the people that were with him, he said, tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David followed them, and they buried Abner at Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice, and he wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner, saying, should Abner die as a fool dies, your hands were not bound, your feet were not fettered, as one falls before the wicked, you've fallen. And all the people wept again over him. And then all the people came to persuade David, eat some bread while it was yet day. But David swore, saying, God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. And so all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said to his servants, do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I was gentle today. And I was gentle today. These are like words of the Lord, gentle. I was gentle today, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are more severe than I. The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. And so as we close there, you guys, a couple things stuck out to me about that chapter. Number one, God works in the mess. He's going to work in yours too. How comforting is that to know that the Lord loves you enough that everything's not totally dependent upon you? And I'm so thankful to God that that's the case in my life, because I don't know where I'd be today. You guys, there's been so many times I wasn't strong enough. I didn't have enough willpower, so many of those times. And every time, God still worked out that mess. Every time. And I don't think I can make you believe it. I just want to throw it out there for you to consider that God is greater than your sin. And also, when David closed out and his life had blown up again, just when everybody comes together, boom. Civil war potential. And what's David do? I commit this to you, Lord. You remember? He says, I just give it to you. And that's the best advice that we can leave here today with. If you're in a place and it's a mess, and trust me, it's gnarly out there, and you don't know what to do, that's okay. Commit it to God, because he can deal with it. And you know what happened? The kingdom stayed tight. God established his plan in David. And it all became because of God. And so this morning, I want to encourage you guys, commit it to Jesus. Commit it to Jesus. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to close out communion. And I want to pray over us. I want to pray over us that we commit it to Jesus. Whatever it is, we're going to commit it to him today. Do you guys have an it that needs to get committed? Just let me see your hands. You got an it in your life that's just got to get committed to Jesus today. Let's do it. Let's do it. Right now is the time. Just like Abner said, what are you waiting for? Now's the time to do it. So Father, we come into your presence today, and we ask that you forgive us of our sins, Lord. We ask that as you worked in David's life, you work in ours, Lord, that you see our flaws and all. And God, that you would just bring in hope today, that you would be encouraged, that you'd bring in encouragement into church today, God. For everybody that showed up to hear this word today, that this is for them. Lord, that you would strengthen them, encourage them to you, Lord. And that whatever it is today, God, that's in their life, that's in my life, Lord, I give it to you. And as David was like, I don't know what to do. Everything's a mess. Where do I start? How do I begin? Begin by committing it to the Lord and to do it now. So we do it, Father. We come on faith, Lord, and trust and hope that, Lord, you're going to work it out, that you're going to give us strength, that your plan's going to be fulfilled in our lives. And if you're here today and you haven't surrendered to Jesus, now's the time. If you've been struggling with something for years, now's the time to give it over to the Lord. And I just want to give you a minute to square it up with the Lord right now. What are you waiting for? Father, forgive us and put in a new heart, Lord. Like David, when his enemies sinned against him, he welcomed them, forgave them, and threw him a feast. That's the heart of the Father. That's the heart of the Son right there. Lord, may we have that heart about us. Forgiveness, Lord. Just as we've been forgiven. And we thank you so much for forgiving us of our sins, for your sacrifice on the cross, Lord. We thank you that we enjoy forgiveness today because of your sacrifice before. Lord, we thank you for that. We love you, Jesus. In your name, amen.